Across the Desk with Clement Manyathela on 702.
On our Across the Desk feature this morning, I'm hosting compliance officers. These are professionals who help companies and organizations comply with either its regulations, industry guidelines, internal policies, and they are compliance officers in all kinds of industries. And really their core function is to facilitate and enable businesses to comply with the rules. And I cannot wait to find out more about the work that they do, these professionals, as compliance officers. And if you are a compliance officer yourself, or you are in the industry, or you are a business that has acquired the services of compliance officers before, why don't you share your experience with us? How has that been helpful to your organization? And if you're a compliance officer, what's been your experience in this field? The number to dial if you want to call in to ask a question or to give an input is 011-883-0702. Alternatively, you can send us your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. Nikki Maseko is the founder of Ngamani Consultants in studio with us. Hello, Nikki. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you so much for making time for us. And then we have Wajda Fatah, who is the head of compliance and risk at, is it Kamisa Asset Management? Wajda?
Good evening, Kamisa Asset Management. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Thank you so much for making time for us. We also have Kimberly McEwen, who is a partner head of legal and compliance at GED Africa, also joining us. She's also a compliance officer. Kimberly, thanks for also making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you very, very much. And it's a pleasure to be here today with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you guys as we learn more about your profession as compliance officers. And I'll start with you, Nikki. It's not a lot of time when you hear someone say, I'm a compliance officer. In fact, to be honest, the first time I ever heard of it is when I had a chat with you some time ago in Cape Town. You're like, I'm a compliance officer. I was like, what is that about? I would like the listeners to actually understand more about the work you do, because I was quite fascinated about what you guys do. Just explain to the listeners what compliance officers are. What do they do?
Good morning to everybody, and thank you for having me. Compliance officers, you know, the word just, I think it makes other people scared, mm-hmm. Because you're thinking it's an office of the law and you are in some kind of trouble.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, in our, obviously we are compliance officers. I mean, we work on the regulations. We actually assist companies or our clients to comply with their rules and regulations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what we do basically, if you're looking at compliance, compliance is part of your enterprise risk management.
Mm-hmm.
So as an enterprise, you have risks that you will identify, and regulatory risk then forms part of that. And then you would want somebody to help you manage that regulatory risk, and that person will then be the compliance officer. So the compliance officer will then help you identify the regulatory risks. Mm-hmm. That your enterprise is exposed to. And once you have identified those regulatory risks, like, for example, POPIA, you know, recently approved and it became effective piece of legislation in 2021. So everyone is talking about that, like, how do you actually collect personal information?
Mm.
You know, then you want to make sure, I mean, you identify that as a regulatory risk for your company.
Okay.
And you then advise them on the whole act, what are the requirements and what are the regulatory obligations that they need to, comply with. And, I mean, you just tell, you help them manage that risk, that regulatory risk from happening.
Okay.
So that's what we do as compliance officers. We actually help assist companies to comply. And also we actually try to, I mean, obviously if they don't comply, they would be fined. With POPIA, there can be class actions because now you've misused your data subjects. I mean, personal information, or you processed it. I mean, unlawfully.
Yeah.
So you might be fined or get a class action. So we try to help our clients actually, our businesses to manage the risk from happening. Yeah.
So, Wajda, do you have to be an expert in that particular industry to understand the kind of laws, the regulations, or as a compliance officer, you just need to broadly familiarize yourself with any legislation that this company interfaces with?
I think you do need to have, it's a combination. There has to be a balance. You do need to understand the industry that you're in. So the industry is very key. I'm fortunate to be in financial services, which is quite regulated already. So once the industry already has the type of regulations, the rules are there, the regulations are there. But just to your question in terms of whether or not you need to have the knowledge, yes, I would say you do, because you do need to have the balance between knowing the industry and knowing the business, because how you apply the compliance principles is going to differ business to business, because it's also going to depend on the nature of that business activities.
And Kimberly, for you, do you want to add on to what you guys do as compliance officers? And what industry particularly are you in? What kind of sectors have you worked in?
Thanks, Clements. I work on mainly cross-border transactions. And when I speak about my industries, you can really see how wide the compliance net is, and that it is very international, in that the ingredients change, but the recipe stays the same. So I'm involved in construction, medical marijuana, transport, education, wine. So you can really see that there are varying industries that you can participate in. Mm-hmm. And I think so much about our function is that you have to be a great salesperson. Mm-hmm. You have to get people's buy-in. And it's about connecting the dots for people with people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times you are interacting at various levels of the business, whether it's at a board level or with general staff. You're interacting with regulators, and you are also having to ensure the long-term sustainability of a business through your compliance function. Mm. I think what is key is that regardless of whether the company is based in South Africa or it's an international company, all compliance officers really need to focus on having a global perspective, because our world is becoming more interconnected. Mm. And navigating this regulatory environment becomes more and more challenging as we go. And that's why you need to, like Waj just said, you need to have a understanding of the business as a whole, mm-hmm. but you also really need to become a bit of a subject matter expert as well within your specific field. But there are many resources that we all rely on when it comes to understanding this regulatory environment that I spoke about.
Yeah. Nikki, are there companies that are not so interested in compliance, like they don't think it's necessary to have a compliance officer? Or in your experience, do you find that more and more companies actually want to comply and they see as valuable the services of a compliance officer?
My experience and observation is that it depends on the knowledge and awareness of the business. For example, I mean, there are companies who are out there, they just want to tick the box, you know, because I work within this sector, therefore I must have a compliance officer. Mm. Whatever the compliance officer does, I'm not interested, as long as, you know what, the regulator is happy that I've just ticked the box.
Does the law require that any company have a compliance officer?
There will be, yeah. So a compliance position in some other sectors is a statutory appointment. Like, for example, in financial services, the law is specific in, I mean, like the Banks Act, I mean, the FACE Act. Actually, they're specific in you having to have a compliance officer. But again, there are, not everybody under the FACE Act must have the compliance officer. But I mean, once you have one, then you'll find that other companies will be like, you know, we've met the requirements. We don't have to be, I mean, we don't care whatever the compliance officer does. I mean, we've met the requirements. But in some other instances where you find that there's maturity of compliance, then they are very, very excited to have a compliance officer because they understand the value. they should bring in. As the ladies have actually said earlier on, the interaction between us as compliance officer is throughout the business. You get to interact with the board, you get to interact with the senior managers, excos, and also you interact with junior staff as well, trying to build the compliance culture. So you as a compliance officer, then you are in a position to influence and build that culture of compliance within the business, so that they can be aware of what you are doing, because compliance is not an off-the-shelf product. You cannot just walk in and say, here, can I please buy compliance? Mm-hmm. Compliance is a culture. You build it into the business. So if you are a compliance officer and you want to be recognized, you have to make sure that you have a strong personality, you are very assertive, and also you have that control and authority over the subject that you are telling people, you are teaching or you are helping people to comply with. Because it's very, very hard to go to someone who's been doing their work for past 30 years to tell them that, you know what, you are now required to have a qualification for this, and you're supposed to write industry exams. And if you don't write industry exams, you will be debarred. That's very hard to go and tell somebody like that. And if you tell them that, they will not receive it nicely. Okay, so you have to be very assertive, and also you have to be very, very friendly in what you're doing, because compliance and sales, like in insurance industry, where you have to go and get clients to buy insurance products, so the compliance department and the sales department, they fight.
Yeah.
Because you as a compliance officer, you are seen as a hindrance or a barrier for them to get money, because you're going to tell them, don't do this.
You can't do this.
Exactly.
You can't and promise this.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. You can watch what you say to clients. Don't overpromise. Tell the truth. Tell the facts, you know. So we actually try, those will be the reasons why in other companies they will be like, you know what, we have a compliance, take the post, don't involve us. In other companies they'll be like, you know what, we really, really need you, please help us so that we can comply.
Yeah, watch that. Are there challenges with, because legislation evolves, we spoke about the Poppy Act not so long ago, there are laws, there are new laws that come in, there are laws that are being amended as well. It's almost like you need to constantly keep an eye on what's happening, so that companies are not found on the back end. Do you find that some of our regulations have really been difficult for some businesses? Because the president often, even when he addresses the state, in the State of the Nation address, always talks about how his government wants to make it easy to do business in South Africa. But when you look at the regulatory reforms, regulatory framework, sometimes it's really unnecessary things that businesses have to tick and do, which then chases away investment. What's been your experience?
Being a true compliance officer, I think I'm going to start with talking about investor protection, because that is one of the key aspects of why we have the regulatory requirements, being with my Financial Services Act. And we've come a long way. In terms of phase, moving into the conduct of financial institutions, hopefully an act soon, we've come a long way in the financial services space to ensure investor protection, to ensure that the investments, for example, are safeguarded. Asset management. So it is key to stand in front of our clients. We do client due diligences all the time. Clients want to know how are their investments being protected, and to stand in front of the client to say that we are in a safe, regulated environment. It is an environment that is highly regulated. Mm-hmm. You are getting buy-in from the client, from the investor. There's really that peace of mind that, at this company, they need to comply. Not to say that the government is enforcing that for that reasons, because there are other positives as well. But for me, the one that always stands out is the fact that we want our money to be safe. When we're investing in our personal capacity as well, we want to know that our funds are being safeguarded. And that, for me, is the key attribute that stands out when it comes to regulatory reform and the focus, especially in financial services.
And for you, Nikki?
The regulatory development, basically, it happens on a daily basis, and you find that it becomes expensive for some companies to implement some of the legislations in their businesses, and also you find that there's less interest as well But like I said, it depends on the compliance maturity of the business. Mm-hmm. So if the business is matured enough, they are able to actually appoint a compliance officer who will actually be able to help them implement their regulatory requirements. So as part of, I mean, implementing regulatory requirements, making sure that the business is aware of the regulatory changes and developments, is our duty as compliance officers to give training. So we train business on the developments of the on the regulatory developments. So there would be, I mean, that general awareness training that we do as compliance officers, mm-hmm. and also as and when there's regulatory developments, we actually advise business on those changes and advise business on how will those changes impact them, so that they can be able to manage and also comply with those requirements.
All right. After the break, I'll get Kimberly. I'll give Kimberly an opportunity to also weigh in on that. It's 24 minutes after 10 o'clock. I'm hosting compliance officers this morning on our Across the Desk feature. I'm going to go to your calls as well and your WhatsApps on 011-883-0702. That's where you can give us a call if you work in the environment, if you want to share your own experience as a business that's acquired the services of a compliance officer. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
Across the Desk with Clement Manyatela on 702.
It's 26 minutes after 10 o'clock. Compliance officers are on Across the Desk this morning. We're finding out more about the work that they do. They are professionals who help companies and organizations comply with regulations. They help them comply with industry guidelines, with internal policies, etc., etc. And Kimberly, I wanted to ask you the same question I had asked Wajda and Nikki as well, about the regulatory developments and how sometimes those make it difficult for businesses to thrive.
Thanks, Clement. So firstly, regulatory reform is often in response to risks, as well as, for instance, technological, industry and global trends. So there is a necessity for it. But what can happen is that if there is overregulation, it can actually impact compliance, in the sense that you'll see that regulations become weakened, for example. And what's necessary is that there is stakeholder involvement and engagement between the regulators and the industry, for example. And there is a risk that certain interest groups capture this regulatory space, which can pose somewhat of a challenge. As mentioned, it is sometimes a challenge for businesses, especially from a cost perspective. But the cost of non-compliance, we often recognize as much, much higher. What we do need to, I think, always be mindful of is that there are sometimes unintended consequences, such as unforeseen impacts on certain groups. But like I mentioned, I think that's why it is key for there to be engagement with industry by the regulators.
Okay. Let's go to the calls and WhatsApps now. Let's start with a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. Good morning. And good morning to my colleagues there, the compliance officers. I'm also a compliance officer. Clement, we've got a big challenge in the South African public sector. Compliance officers are being pushed left, right and center. You go to public entities, you try to enforce compliance to the regulatory requirements, you will be chopped off, to the extent that some of the compliance officers are being attacked, even being killed for doing their job. It's not easy, because our public sector is full of corruption. People don't want to do what is right. And yeah, that's the case in the public sector. Thanks.
Have you worked in the public sector before?
Not as yet.
Never done compliance there. No. But even in the private sector, though, do you find that sometimes that puts you at odds with the executives? Because, you know, for lack of a better word, when you are busy telling them about laws they're not following, you know, so have you, are those instances where compliance officers in some sectors, like, they can really be at odds?
In its nature, it comes with, it's the nature of the beast, compliance. You will fight with everyone in the business, because you are telling them to do this. Mm. And like, for example, the example I made with sales and compliance, yes, always, I mean, there's a friction there. So those are the challenges that you face. So as a compliance officer, you need to have a strategy to actually help get the business to comply. So, I mean, for example, when I used to work for an insurance company, we try to build the compliance culture in such a way that the compliance officer, whenever they will have, I mean, I was now, I became a member of the sales marketing team. Mm. I mean, sales marketing forum. In how? Because they believe that if they have the compliance officer with them when they are wrapping up that, oh, trying to wrap up the deal, at least they would know what it is that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that will prevent them from having the transaction right to, I mean, towards the closing, for you as a compliance officer to say, no, you're not supposed to do this. So, I mean, you have to have a strategy. You have to make people, you have to make compliance friendly with all the business, because at the end of it all, they have to comply. Like they said, the risk of non-compliance is high. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that you help implement. And don't go there with a stick as if you just want to go there and be a teacher and be, beating on everybody. You go there, you advise them on the regulatory requirements, the risk exposure, and the fact that if they do not comply, this is what's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. However, there is a way of doing things in a compliant way. So don't be the one who always points out the problems. Be a part of the solution as well as a compliance officer.
Yeah, it's 10:32.
Desk with Clement Manyatela on 7:02.
It's 23 minutes before 11 o'clock. We are hosting compliance officers on our Across the Desk feature this morning. I've got some of your questions coming through on the WhatsApp line on 072-702-1702. Let's start with the question from Perry from Midrand. And Wajda, if you can, you can take this one. Perry wants to know, hi Clement, so who ensures that the compliance officers are compliant themselves? Who watches the watchers?
Very good question. Thank you. So a lot of companies would have the compliance function audited by external companies as well. And then, of course, in most cases, the compliance teams are accountable to the audit and investment compliance committees, who ultimately have responsibility to the board of directors. So in a pure governance, if we're applying company in terms of King Code 4, in terms of governance structure, the structure would dictate that there is that oversight and independence of a compliance function. Mm-hmm. So to have a direct reporting line to the audit risk and compliance committee is one way of achieving that. And then to ensure that, of course, there is true independence as well, is that the compliance function is not going to be sitting within your operational or in your business areas. It is also a second line of defense. It's a line of assurance. And then, as I mentioned, the best way, of course, is an external audited compliance function.
Uh-huh. Kimberly, another question here from Dumiso. It says, hi, Clement and Dumiso here. I hold a Bachelor of Commerce in Law qualification, and I'd like to know if it's possible for me to work in the compliance industry, and how would I go about getting a job in the industry?
Absolutely. Thanks, Clement. You don't need to have any particular degree or qualification. If you would like to become a compliance officer, the Compliance Institute of Southern Africa does offer an occupational certificate, which is registered with SACWA. And to be able to apply for it, you can look on the Compliance Institute's website for those details. And there are various development providers, skills development providers, such as the Kulasani Academy. You've got Moonstone, for example. And after then you become a compliance officer, you can also apply to become a compliance practitioner. So for that, you will need 3 years of experience, and then you can qualify, provided that you have your matric. So you don't even need to have a degree to become a compliance officer. Of course, having a background in law definitely will help your listener, because it is essential to understand the regulatory landscape, which we've been speaking about. But again, it's not essential.
Okay, here's a voice note that's also come through.
Hi, 702. I'm a young professional who has started in the compliance field in January this year, so it's only been 4 months practicing. I have experience as an electronic technician, and I've worked in the electrical and electronic manufacturing space as a quality controller and quality practitioner. So now my question is, what is the most necessary skills, experience, and training and certifications that I need to be able to practice as a compliance officer?
Yes, Nikki, the skills, the necessary skills required to practice as a compliance officer and the kind of training that's needed?
I've forgotten her name. She actually answered on the qualification and certification that you require. But as far as skills are concerned, I mean, you have to have that attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be willing to, you have to learn more about the business.
Yeah.
And also you must be very assertive, and you have to be independent. You cannot be biased, so you have to make sure that you are objective, because as a compliance officer, you're not part of operation, you are independent. And legal research is important, because you have to understand the law, and also interpretation of statutes, because it's all about understanding what the statute is all about and how does it apply to your business. And another thing is risk management and auditing, because you have to, in terms of the of CISA, we are applying a risk-based approach. And also, if you're looking at FICA, the Financial Intelligence Center Act, it requires that when you're putting your FICA policy, which is called Risk Management and Compliance Program, you have to actually apply a risk-based approach. So you really need to have that background actually in risk management and auditing, for monitoring, because you have to test whether the company is compliant. So you have to be able to put together, a monitoring test paper, and you have to do sort of like an audit, and you have to report on the findings. So it's more like you are doing what internal auditors or auditors are doing, but in this instance, you are doing it on a regulatory basis as a compliance officer. And also you have to be able to report, because reporting is important in the compliance field. We report all the time. So
you report to the board?
We report to the board, to the business as well. And paying attention to detail, and also be available to assist, because when you wake up and you switch on your email, there'll be queries from business, and you must actually be knowledgeable of what's happening around the industry, or be knowledgeable of what's happening within the business, what risks that impact the business, in that way that you are able to advise the business on how to go about closing that transaction, on how to about structure the terms and conditions. So those are the skills that you actually require as a compliance officer.
Okay.
Some of the skills,
yeah. What would you say are the most challenging aspects of your job? I'm asking that because we've got a message here from Anonymous who says, I used to be a compliance officer for a big local authority. I had to beg and threaten all the time for compliance documents to be submitted to me, etc., etc. A general culture of non-compliance existed, and it just became worse and worse over the years. I eventually resigned out of pure frustration. Yes, Wajda?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the compliance culture, setting the tone of a compliance culture is I think it can be one of the biggest challenges that we face. Because you do need to get the buy-in. If you don't have the buy-in from senior management, from executives, from staff, it's the tone from the top that really matters. And once you have the tone from the top, that buy-in, it flows down into the rest of the staff. And in that way, we have a lot of compliance framework documents, of course, all of this is documented within a company. And that's paper, but the paper needs to be lived within the organization. So the person leading the compliance function needs to ensure that they are ensuring that they're building that compliance function in terms of a culture that is strengthening not just the compliance function, but the business. So we were actually just this morning on a Women in Compliance talk with the Compliance Institute, and the lady speaking said that it's about learning the business language but also not forgetting that the business needs to understand the compliance language. Mm. So it's that meeting of the minds and coming together and having that balance. And it is challenging. It can be frustrating. It's not easy. But once it's achieved and once it's aligned, it can be seamless.
Yeah. And Kimberly, for you, the most challenging aspect?
I think, Clements, it's about challenging common perceptions about the function. We are not policemen. We are not focused on tick box exercises. We don't resist change. We don't work within a vacuum. We want to be creative. We can be creative. We can save costs. But at the same time, businesses need to understand that at the same time, we can be strategic. And this is about trying to get the buy-in from the business, is understanding that there are strategic aspects and we can make a real difference to the business. But as previously said by the ladies, you do need that tone to be set from the top to be able to instill a culture of compliance. And there's a saying that we sometimes say that if at first you don't succeed, try doing what the compliance officer told you to do in the first place. So I think there is that resistance that has become common within the business. But if you can try to align the function to a strategic role, I think that really helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's take one now from Busisiwe, who says, Clement, this is Busi from Waverly. I work for a short-term insurance brokerage company. I have a BCom accounting degree. I started working in claims department. Then I got promoted to work in the accounts department. I'm currently doing a risk management course through Gibbs. Did you say Gibbs there? Yeah, I think you meant to say Gibbs. You written Gibbs. I saw UCT has a compliance officer course. Please can you ask the ladies for me if doing the compliance officer course after having done the risk management course is necessary, or is it something that I still need to do? So Nikki, for someone who has a BCom accounting degree, they started working in claims department and then they got promoted to work in accounts, they're now doing a risk management course and they are considering whether or not they should do a compliance officer course at UCT. Is that necessary for them?
I mean, the risk management course, it depends on the company. As it was explained earlier, there is necessarily no like specific qualification. You will notice that, I mean, when the compliance positions are advertised, you find that they will ask for an LLP degree. In some other instances, you find that there will be a risk auditing background that is required. However, for me, basically, it's important as a compliance officer to have that understanding of the profession that you're working in. So having a compliance diploma, the postgrad diploma or the certificate, it helps because you get to learn the basics of what compliance is all about and also how to go about implementing compliance and doing your compliance, monitoring, preparing a compliance risk management plan. So having a risk background is good. As an addition, as an add-on, not because you have to have it, but I will actually encourage that you have that compliance certificate or the postgraduate diploma in compliance management.
All right. It's going up to 10 minutes now before 11 o'clock.
Across the Desk with Clement Manyatela on 702.
It's 8 minutes now before 11 o'clock. We're wrapping up our discussion with compliance officers on Across the Desk. We've got Wajda, Kimberly and Nikki. I want to take some of your WhatsApp voice notes as we wrap up and some calls. Let's start with Philemon, who's calling us from Tembisa. Philemon, good morning.
Hi, morning, Clement. How are you?
Good, brother. How are you doing?
Good, man. I have a question to the guest, actually. I'm coming from a criminology background, right? I've got a degree in criminology, honors degree in criminology, and a master's degree in criminology. But because the space doesn't have, opportunities, I've got a dream of, jumping into the space of money laundering and compliance, What I'm looking for is that get an advice from your guests actually as to what can I do, where can I start, because I've got a better understanding of money laundering and compliance, but then what would I do and where would I start? So, yeah.
Okay, so someone from a with a criminology background. Okay, Philemon, thank you so much. Any advice?
Yeah, there is a program that CISA is offering on money laundering. Okay. I mean, they even have like board exam for that, which I'm also planning to do. Uh-huh. So that's something that, I mean, he can look into as
Did
well.
You say what, CISA?
Yeah, the Compliance Institute of Southern Africa.
Okay.
The watch body of the compliance profession.
Okay, Compliance Institute of Southern Africa. Southern Africa.
Yes.
All right, Philemon, will you check that out, eh?
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, Clement. I'll check that out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, bro. Thanks for calling us, Philemon in Tembisa. Here's a WhatsApp that also come through.
Good morning, Clement. My name is Zagane from Alex. It's a very good discourse that you are discussing with your guest. I'll just want to understand more further, like in terms of the requirement of a compliance officer. I just want to know, like, in terms of the requirements, like where she have alluded that you need to have 3 months experience. So I just want to know, where do you get that 3 months experience? Do you go through some internship, or like how do you acquire that three years experience? Mm-hmm. I would like to know that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Wajda, is it 3 years of three months perhaps of experience as from any work experience or as a compliance officer? And are there generally internship opportunities available?
I think we spoke about 3 years. So just to correct him on that, it's not 3 months.
3 years,
3 years. So it would be 3 years experience in a compliance and risk space generally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, any working experience would add value to the individual. So, but ideally, it would be in a compliance and risk space.
Okay. Thank you so much for clarifying that. There's another question here from Kay from Port Alfred, who's asking, Clement, may I ask this? People who do companies registrations on statutory and industry regulatory platforms for their clients, are they compliance officers as well? Kimberly, do you know?
They aren't necessarily compliance officers. That, as we mentioned, does need to have a occupational certificate,
mm-hmm.
together with more detailed experience. However, as what just said, all these points of experience certainly do lend to becoming a compliance officer and a better professional.
Oh, wonderful.
And also, there is a mentorship program for the gentleman who called and was asking about where can you get the experience from. There is a mentorship program that CISA again provides,
mm-hmm.
and also working under supervision as a compliance officer soon after graduating from varsity, you can work under supervision for a period of 3 years,
mm-hmm.
For you to get that experience and also write industry exams if you are in the financial sector.
Oh, wonderful. Ladies, thank you so much for making time for us. It's really been fascinating understanding more and more the kind of work that you guys do as compliance officers. I really appreciate your time. Wajda Fatah, Kimberly McEwen, and Nikki Maseko. Thank you, ladies, for making time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Clemens.